Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
Is baby alive? Has baby perished?
Oh, no.
Conflicting reports?
Oh, God.
Jesse Bunch with the details from the Inquirer coming up shortly. But right now, let's get down to business. Round two of the news. We go down to the great Anna Hummel.
Oh, thank you so much. Today is April 4th, 2025, and it is 65 degrees out, even though it feels like it's 62. Today's weather, not as warm as yesterday, a couple morning showers, then times of cloud and sun this afternoon with a high of 66. And tonight you can expect cloudy with a brief shower or two very late and the low of 52. Religious leaders protest ICE policies in Center City, Philadelphia. It was a religious rallying call in the middle of Center City, Philadelphia. Leaders across faiths joined to send a message about the impact of increased ICE raids and decreased safe spaces for immigrants. They held a rally on the sidewalk in front of the immigration in front of the ICE office on 8th Street in Chinatown.
You know, I love this whole concept of the safety of those that are here illegally. You know, we have to, like, reexamine all of this all the time. Nobody's opposed to legal immigration. As Hillary Clinton said 25 years ago, get in line, wait your turn, go through the vetting.
Learn English.
Do the proper documentation. Yes. Thank God you said that. Because I say that all the time and people look at me sideways. I'm like, I took my honeymoon to Italy. We were there for 11 or 12 days. I felt embarrassed that I didn't know more than six words of Italian. And yeah. I was only there for a honeymoon. You're here 15 years, you can't speak English?
I mean, you've been here 40 years, you can't speak English.
I can't figure out how to use ran or run with a college degree and some law school education to boot. It's outrageous. I should be deported. You know what? Tom Homan, send me back to wherever my ancestors came from. Get me out.
Deport Kale.
Deport Kale.
People from dozens of congregations filled this sidewalk and street. They're concerned not only about what happens at the ICE office, but also what happens at churches, mosques, synagogues, and other religious spaces. Local faith leaders demand that those places be deemed off limits to ICE. Quote, our space is sacred. Where we worship is sacred, Reverend Christopher Nelson of the Living Church said. People from more than 30 congregations of various faiths gathered all in front of the ICE office near Center City, protesting recent changes to the federal immigration policy.
All right, so here's what you do if you're ICE then. You wait in your vehicle. You park down at the end of the block. You wait for the person that you're targeting for deportation to come out of said religious center. And as soon as they walk down the curb, kaboom, you cuff them.
I disagree with this, that for whatever reason, that churches and synagogues, whatever, are safe spaces for people who commit crimes to go and can't be apprehended.
I agree too.
It's just because the criminals know that. Mm-hmm. So who suffers? The great God fearing patrons that are in there, you know, just trying to worship as they choose in a mm-hmm. free society, and the illegals take advantage of that. So no, no safe spaces anywhere.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a good point.
And they just keep calling them immigrants, and they're not that. They're
and it's always the fear, too.
Migrant criminals.
Well, you can't go into the school to get an illegal in fear of, creating anxiety for third graders. I get it. But you know what? Why should a school be a safe place, right?
I would like to see my son. I would like my son to have to see a criminal being taken out in handcuffs.
Yeah,
This is our justice system at work. This person broke the law. This is a cop who's a good guy. So they're not indoctrinated over the years that cops are bad. Cops are bad.
Right.
They're just arresting people willy nilly. No, you show. Show a guy breaking the law, show a cop come in, bust him. I think it's a good lesson for kids.
I agree. Then Dylan pulls out his fake badge and whistle and starts cheering on the cop.
I'd love to see that.
Yeah. Awesome.
A proposed bill would require 10 commandments in Pennsylvania schools. Pennsylvania lawmaker proposed a bill requiring the 10 commandments and multiple other foundational documents to be displayed in Pennsylvania public schools. The creation of law in our schools act proposed by State Senator Doug Mastriano would require the display of the Ten Commandments, the Declaration of Independence, the Pennsylvania Constitution, and the U.S. Constitution in the state's public schools.
Huh. Well, now
how do we feel about that? The Ten Commandments. Maybe the Constitution, of course, I can get on board with, but I don't know about the Ten Commandments.
No, I would agree.
There's some good eggs in there, you know, don't... murder,
thou
steal.
Thou shalt not kill. Yeah.
Some good eggs. Some good eggs, huh? You like
but
eggs?
But also, come on.
Anna, you like eggs?
I like omelets.
I like omelets myself.
I do like I love eggs in every form.
All right, so I got the audience on my side for my ICE raid take. Now I'm going to piss off the audience. No.
Okay.
No Ten Commandments in schools.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. Unless it's no ma'am's Ten Commandments. Which, by the way, we could go through right now. I looked them up if you want to hear the Ten Commandments from Al Bundy.
No, I don't. I don't, but thank you.
You're welcome.
Lastly, Philly Zoo's 100-year-old tortoise gives birth to critically endangered hatchlings.
Wow.
For the first time in over 150 years, the Philadelphia Zoo has new additions to the Western Santa Cruz Galapagos tortoise family. How exciting. The zoo announced the hatchling of four critically endangered hatchlings born to the zoo's oldest residents, female Mommy and male Abrazo, who are both estimated to be around 100 years old.
I called my wife a tortoise yesterday.
Oh, dear. Yeah. How'd that go?
It didn't go well, but I said...
What was the context, if I may ask?
I was in the truck waiting for her. We had to go somewhere to look at some property. And she said, I'll be right out. 8 minutes later, here she comes. I said, you move like a tortoise. I'm like, can we get going here?
Boy.
My daughters are the same way. Oh, I'm packed. I'm ready for dance, Dad. I'm ready to go. I go, all right, I'm heading out. Let's go. We got to leave 4:45. Got to be there at 5:25. Get in my truck. And I'm looking. Nobody's out yet. Nobody's walked out the door.
Yeah. That's a lie I tell almost every day, which is I'm on my way. Just letting you know, that's my favorite lie.
Anna, I am the most punctual person you will ever meet.
It's true. Oh God!
And when people are behind on this on the schedule, it drives me up a wall.
Yeah, no, you're right, and it's such a sign of respect when you're on time and you're punctual. I'm trying to be more like that, but I feel like it's in my DNA. My mom was kind of the same way as your wife is. So yeah, I'm trying to change.
What's
but
up? What's up with what's up with all of you broads always dilly dallying?
Broads, yeah.
You know what it is? It's that we're optimistic because we're in our heads. We do the time math about how long it takes us to get ready for things, and we're super optimistic about how quickly we can do things.
Right.
That's the problem. Is that we're just
so
we're
when
optimistic.
You and your boyfriend go out for like date night. Are you?
Yeah.
Is he dressed and ready to go in like 13 minutes and it takes you an hour and 25, or are you not like that?
Well, I hate getting dressed up, so we rarely do that. But if and when we do, like we go to a wedding, it is rare that I get dressed up.
Okay.
But yeah, I definitely take a bit more time than he does. But typically, no. I got my basketball shorts on and my t-shirt. I'm like, let's go to Taco Bell. I'm ready. Yeah.
All right. He needs to lock you up immediately.
I don't like love fine dining oftentimes, mostly because I'm like a vegetarian. So it's like, what am I going to pay like $30 for a salad? Like, so.
Oh, you're a vegetarian?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. Are you feel like you're judging me?
Well, Stalker was on that kick for a while.
I was. Okay. I was vegetarian, and then I realized that I need, like, I was eating a lot of fake crap, and I was just like, I just need to eat real food.
It's weird because I'm really not a vegetarian for an ethical reason or a health reason. I just think that eating flesh is gross. Ugh. So I don't know what that's considered.
I like my flesh medium.
Me too.
Like the idea is disturbing. But that's I'm a libertarian vegetarian for the record. I never comment on what people are eating. I just shut my mouth, to each their own. So just, FYI.
We made Greg eat a Whopper on the air. After he ditched his veganism and he had a burger for the first time. That was in years, right?
Yeah.
How was it? It was probably so good.
It was actually, it wasn't. Like, I was just like, nah. But now that I have a taste for flesh.
And a side of fava beans.
You sound like Genghis Khan or something.
I am all in. Like, meat is basically all I eat now.
He's on a protein kick.
From like vegetarian to straight carnivore, lion's diet.
Okay. I feel like 10 years of not eating meat, like I'm making up
ten
for
years?
It.
Yeah. You have catching up to do.
Yeah, I've got catching up to do, yeah.
Well, that is it. And that's Kale and Company News Live. So.
All right. Thank you very much, Anna. 855-839-1210. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and get to the Baby the Deer story.
Why don't we do that now?
You want to do that now?
Yes, thank you.
All right. So the owners of the viral Baby the Deer make a case before a judge as social media, and again, this is why Stocker says we should not get our news from social media, swirling with rumors of Baby's death. Now, this was written yesterday in the Inquirer by Jesse Bunch, and I'm going to give you the little story here. He writes, and this is in Uniontown, PA, by the way, Anna. As dark clouds rolled over southwest Pennsylvania, a gloomy Thursday morning opened with one question for supporters of Baby. Where was the white-tailed deer seized by game wardens from a Fayette County homeowner earlier this year? By early afternoon, a different question was being asked. Is Baby even alive? A day that began with an anticlimactic court hearing seeking a judge's order for Baby's return to the women who domesticated him morphed into an existential mystery that may spell an end to the outlandish social media saga. It now appears the very mortality of a deer that has captured the attention of everyone from Elon Musk to Marjorie Taylor Greene has been brought into question on what had been billed as something of a liberation day for Baby's legion of online fans. Tamara Sheary, the Connellsville woman who raised Baby for nearly 2 years after the animal wandered into her property, had hoped that Thursday's hearing would bring an end to nearly 5 weeks of confusion that followed his removal. It is illegal to keep a wild animal as a pet in Pennsylvania, and on February 25th, game wardens seized Baby from Sheary's property, a tense moment captured on video and circulated widely on Facebook, X, and other platforms, birthing a MAGA-adjacent movement against tyrannical government overreach.
Yes.
Into the lives of everyday Americans.
So, to make this short and sweet, Aunt Anna, this is this woman had allegedly purchased a deer from some deer farm.
Yep.
Oh, I didn't know. Deer farm. You can't just like. Yeah,
I didn't know
kidnap
you could,
one from the forest.
I didn't know you could do that, but apparently, so this she tried to domesticate this deer, and as
Got
we know,
it.
You can't just domesticate one animal because it's not possible. She neutered it, and she took off its antlers. And basically,
legit castration
and made it basically non-survivable in the wild, so it could only survive with her.
Yeah,
and it was the game commission came. Somebody dropped a dime. The game commission came and took it away from her because you're not allowed to have a wild animal, even though she says she legally purchased it. And then they took it to a sanctuary.
Yeah.
So the online community was up in arms because they said this game commission, it was like a tyrannical government came and took her pet away from her.
Do you recall the story in New York a few months ago with the squirrel?
The squirrel.
Yes, Peanut the squirrel. I was just about to
so
say
this
that.
So this is Peanut the squirrel, but the Bambi edition.
Thank you.
But hold on. Is Baby deer dead?
Well,
or?
Here's the plot twist. So the 9 a.m. hearing happened yesterday, and then just after 1 p.m., a message was posted to Baby's official X account, which is managed by the deer supporters. May Baby rest in peace. Okay, so you would assume Baby died, right?
Right.
Well, then there was a shocking twist later in the day. Quote, I was told the exact opposite of that, says the game commission's attorneys by phone at 3 p.m., so 2 hours later. And they said, quote, the deer is located and that Baby is very much alive and Baby is doing well.
Oh, okay. Great. I'm glad to hear Baby's doing
well. Wow.
You know, I don't care if you're anti-government overreach or you're okay with a deer being removed. Some of you got to find a hobby.
Yeah.
All of you. This is a bipartisan take. Get a stinking life.
These people were rabid on it. Like they came after us on social media, and so much so that I was just like, dude, if you have an opposing point of view, call in.
Yeah.
And I gave the phone number, and they did.
Well, and it still seems there's conflicting reports because Stocker, you said that the deer wandered. The deer was bought from a deer farm.
Well, no, I didn't say that. The guy who called in said that. He wanted to correct the record
because
we just assumed that this person, this woman who had an emotional support deer because she's disabled, that's their words.
So that's their words.
Yes. That the deer was legally purchased.
Well, Jesse Bunch, I just quoted him in the article that was written just yesterday, is still writing and framing it as the deer wandered into her yard.
Yeah, that's what I think happened.
That's the major issue here.
Yeah.
Was the deer purchased from a farm, or did the deer just show up on the property?
Right.
Everybody's like, screw that deer.
Don't you think it's kind of bizarre how people have selective compassion for some animals over others? Like,
absolutely.
Everyone cares about this deer. And listen, I'm a vegetarian. I love animals, yada, yada. But, you know, as they're eating their medium rare steak and their chicken cutlets, like, they don't care about their pork. They don't care about any of those animals.
Oh.
But one baby deer, they're just so hyper-focused on.
It's amazing.
Yeah, deer are a nuisance to society.
Really?
There's a reason why states allow hunting, right?
Mm.
Population control of deer.
Uncle Sam says the deer was trafficked.
Hey, no deer is illegal. 855-839-1210. We'll come back. We're going to work our way towards Sean Farish. He's at the bottom of the hour, the cut sheet at 745. And if I triggered the deer community online, you know how to reach us. 855-839-1210. First, a word from our friends at Piazza Auto Group. We're talking today about Acura. That's because they just rolled out the 2025 ADX, Acura's latest addition to their precision-crafted lineup, a premium compact SUV for those that are looking for the smaller sport utility vehicle, comes in a breakthrough new design with great performance and innovation. Turbocharged engine, available all-wheel drive system, and cutting-edge technology, the Acura ADX, engineered for those who demand more. Best of all, now available at Piazza Acura of Ardmore, Reading, and Westchester, with leases as low as $389 per month. Visit PiazzaAcura.com for all of the details.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Marcus Aurelius, I believe, with the same position as Stalker. Church sanctuary is to protect the faithful and the innocent from unlawful apprehension, arrest, and persecution.
Yep.
Not to shield lawbreakers.
Amen.
So, Marcus on point with that one. Mike Gisondi checks in. He says, Trump is right on tariffs. 90% of Wall Street doesn't know how to change the oil in their car, let alone understand manufacturing. Many of the plants in the U.S. were at half capacity. It won't take long to ramp up production. So, if you want to jump in on social media, at 1210 WPHT. I want to get to this story. Anna yesterday in the news had a story about Nick Sirianni, Eagles head coach. And I believe, Anna, you quoted Nick a couple of times about going to the White House as Super Bowl champions, which is coming up later this month. The Eagles will go to the Trump White House after declining to go and Trump revoking the invitation back in 2018 after they won their first Super Bowl. So then yesterday, after we got off the air, I saw a story that was published from Outkick, and it says Eagles owner Jeffrey Lurie shuts down reporter, suggesting fans might, quote, take offense to the team going to a White House visit. And then, just to give you a little backstory to this, I texted Anna, and I said, this wasn't the story that you brought us in the news, and she said, no, it was about the head coach, Nick Sirianni, not the owner, Jeffrey Lurie.
Yep.
So I reached out to a couple of people that I know cover the NFL, and I got some clarification. I said, where was this interview conducted at, and who was the reporter? So this person that asked to be unnamed, passed me along the full Q&A transcript that the Philadelphia Eagles as a franchise send out to all of their beat reporters that cover these things. So I found the question, and I have the answer as well, and the question came from a local beat reporter. We'll get to him in a moment. But Outkick writes, at one point during his conversation with reporters this week, Philadelphia Eagles owner Jeffrey Lurie was asked about the team's upcoming White House visit. And a member of the media asked Lurie what he would tell fans who, quote, take offense to the team, quote, embracing President Donald Trump.
What a question.
What a soft snowflake question.
Oh,
now,
my God.
Again, I don't know if the reporter is liberal. I don't know if he's just asking on behalf of, quote, the fans that probably might take offense to this, because there are certainly some that might, even though I think it's ridiculous. Jeffrey Lurie responded, quote, this is really just an invitation from the White House. That's all this is.
Oh, my God.
And we're not politicizing it in any way. Not for us. He goes on to talk about the culture in the locker room where he says, players, it's optional. If you want to go to the White House, you can. If you don't want to go, that's cool, too. So the reporter...
This is ridiculous, is, by the way.
And it's perfect timing because Anna had the story from Nick yesterday. And then today, Saquon Barkley taking a picture with Ivanka Trump and her baby and signing a football. And everybody rushing to judgment. He's a Trump supporter, or he's not, or it doesn't matter, blah, blah, blah. So my question would be, now the reporter is Bo Wolf, who used to write for a few different publications in this city. He now does some digital stuff with Anthony Gargano's new media venture in the city. And I don't want to typecast him and label him as woke or a snowflake. I don't know what the motive was to the question. Maybe it's just good journalism. Maybe it's terrible journalism. Maybe it's his personal belief. Maybe he's asking on behalf of presumably half of Eagle fans that are not Trump supporters. I don't know. I don't care. Either way, the question to me would be, was this question ever asked or would this question be asked when Joe Biden was in the White House?
No.
What do you say to the presumable conservatives or Republicans or those right of center on the Eagles fan base that might take offense to you going to visit Joe Biden? See, this to me is where I think you have to read the room. And Anna, to me, at the end of the day, Trump won the popular vote. He swept all seven swing states. MAGA as a movement has never been more mainstream and accepted and embraced. Patrick Mahomes' wife, Brittany Mahomes, she got skewered because she liked a post on Instagram.
When her best friend Taylor Swift clearly didn't.
Right, and Taylor Swift didn't, you know, she's on the other side. Oh my goodness gracious, to quote the great Harry Enten from CNN, who gives a rat's ass? To me, it shouldn't matter if it's Democrat or Republican. And if you don't want to go and you're like, it's not political at all, I just have no interest in going to the White House, I don't like politics, cool. But when you go there, the sanctity of the office, the sanctity of the position, even though I don't think we should idolize presidents or any politician, I think they're all scumbags. They all have their own agendas.
That's the truth.
You know, it's like going to the Vatican. You go to the White House. It's kind of a cool thing. A lot of people would say bucket list item. Your thoughts on this about how the media has to frame a question of what do you say to those that might take offense to this?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. When you think about people who didn't like Biden, and trust me, there were many, very few of them took to violence on the street. I can't even think of a single instance. But when you think about people who hate Trump, who truly hate Trump, who have TDS to the max degree, those people are absolutely wildly violent. And that is why this question was asked, because people who hate Trump are insane and they do insane things.
I actually think, and I think we have Sean Farish. Is Sean with us now? Let me bring Sean Farish in here. Sean, you're a football fan. You're a fan of the Jets. The Jets are owned by Woody Johnson, Johnson & Johnson. Woody Johnson's a Trump guy. If the Jets actually, well, they'll never win a Super Bowl, but if they won more than seven games and they went to the White House to celebrate it, do you think a Jets reporter would be asking about, what do you say to the Jet fans out there that are anti-Trump?
First of all, where do I start? First of all, let's win a Super Bowl. Okay? You know what? Hold on. Wait, what do they say? Baby steps?
Yeah.
Let's win a game. let's go to the playoffs, yeah. Right? Did I do that well?
Playoffs.
Who's that, Maura? Yep. There would absolutely be reporters, Rich Shimini, who, who will whine and cry and, oh my, the politicization, like everyone goes to the White House, okay? Yeah, there'd be reporters all over the place. There would be reporters all over that. New York Jets beat is brutal. Like, it's really a mess. And the only reason why, they don't criticize Woody Johnson for being a Trump guy is because it's more fun and easier to criticize Woody Johnson for being a horrible owner. So there's no reason to even go to his politics because the team is so bad. They know it's not even a realistic outcome that we're going to visit the White House for anything other than like maybe Donald Trump forcing the sale of the Jets like he's forcing the sale of TikTok. You know what I mean? I would consider the way the Jets are run a national security crisis. Okay. Because you're going to get like, and this is just a joke, but you're going to get like Jet fans committing acts of terror in the stadium because they're just so upset with the fact that it's always Third and 13. Let's run a draw play. Oh, nobody saw that coming. You know why nobody saw that coming? It's a horrible play call. That's why nobody saw that coming. No, I think you're going to see. I think you would absolutely see it. But you know what? You know what? Here's the thing. I'll settle for that. Okay, let's go win a Super Bowl. Great idea. Let's see what happens. Can the NFL lay down next year and just, you know, throw one down to us little football peasants, right? Here you go, Jet fans. Here's a Super Bowl. Now you got to wait, like, I don't know, what's it been, 60 something years or so? 1969. Look, yep. Elon wants to go to Mars, right? He wants to go to Mars. The only reason why the United States, you know, Neil Armstrong, we knew Neil Armstrong very well. One small step for man. I said, you know, you're going to say one huge leap for mankind. He said giant, but it's okay. We almost left him there, by the way. We said, Neil, we're going to leave you there, but we brought him back. The only reason why NASA figured out, hey, we're going to get on the moon.
Yeah.
It's because the Jets won a Super Bowl. They were like, if that could happen, we could definitely. So you want to go to Mars? We got to win another one.
Yeah.
That's the thing. So why don't we do the whole, if the NFL is truly rigged, why don't you rig one in our favor for once?
But you know what's really amazing about all of this is I think if you went through the four major pro sports leagues, the NFL, Major League Baseball, the NHL, the NBA, throw in the PGA Tour, and even major college football and college basketball, especially in this era of the NIL era where athletes are now paid to endorse products, they're able to appear in State Farm commercials. I think if you actually polled a majority of major athletes, you would be shocked at the results of how many actually voted for Donald Trump. They make it sound like you're the minority or some radical outlier, when in reality, I think probably 60 to 65% of pro athletes probably secretly voted for Donald. Even if they haven't publicly come out and said it, they voted for Trump over Kamala Harris. Yet you going to the White House, which shouldn't be a political statement, has become a political statement because the media wants to make it a political statement.
It's become a political statement because of who's in it.
Yeah.
Right. I think what Anna just said, you know, or you guys are just talking about this. If it was Biden and when it was Biden, nobody asked, do you think this is politically motivated, or do you think people are going to have a problem with, visiting the White House with Joe Biden? How come not a soul asked that question?
Right.
Like nobody did. And whatever, you know, I'm not saying it should have been asked when Biden was president. Just leave it alone. It's a tradition, right? The president of the United States, no matter who it is, invites the champions to the White House. It's not unique to Trump. It's not unique to Biden. It's not unique to Obama. It just happens.
Well, and the left, it happened. And the left has tried to politicize so many things about sports. The Atlanta Braves tomahawk chop, that's racist. Anna, you live in Florida. The Florida Gators, they play in Gainesville. Their mascot is a gator, and they do the gator chomp in the stands.
Oh, yeah, that was like...
And that was controversial.
Referencing a black person now? That was eaten by a gator or something?
Because stop.
I swear to God, I think I remember that.
They said that this, slave masters used to throw slaves into the water and have alligators eat them.
Yes.
So this is racism.
No, listen to me.
Right.
April Fool's.
Did Florida have slaves?
No, I swear to God, that was a real thing.
Okay.
So the gator chop.
Yes.
The gator chomp is racist.
Yeah.
The gator chomp is racist because at some point in time, a slave master might have thrown a slave into the mouths of an alligator.
Yes.
The Washington Redskins had to change their name to the Commanders. The Cleveland Indians had to change their name to the Guardians.
We're bringing back the Redskins, by the way.
We should.
And it's co-sponsored by Pocahontas, right?
It's co-sponsored. Unbelievable.
Sure.
855-839-1210. All right, we'll come back. We're going to fire up a Friday cut sheet.
I can't wait.
Stalker's got 39 clips. Actually, 39,000.
Oh, God.
Let's go,
Sports Bar.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
What's on the cut sheet?
Actually on time. What's on the cut sheet on this Friday? Sponsored by Rita's Italian Ice. Get ready for a burst of bold, fruity flavor. Introducing Rita's new Skittles Ice. Try it in gelati or ice blender. Add even more fun with a crunchy new Skittles pop top. Pop topping, excuse me. Stop by Rita's today. Thank you, Rita's. I had that Skittles thing. So good.
Yeah,
so
you like
good.
That, huh?
So good. So good.
He tasted the rainbow. Like you don't do.
shit. Like who, Mr. President? I'm sorry.
Mr. Mayor Packersheet was a jerk, right? You know who I'm talking about.
Sorry, Pash. I gotcha.
Remember, we said it last week, and you gotcha. Lost your mind. What can Brown do for you, right, UPS?
Pecker Pete. Pecker Pete.
That's not right.
Mayor Pete. Some would argue
it's
possibly.
It's funny a week later. I don't know. All right. Let's start with 14 here. 14 here. Nick, you mentioned this in the big take. Let's just do a quick thing here on tariffs. Ford announced that let's have the CEO of Ford say what they're going to do for customers for the next couple of months. Roll it.
We're going to offer our customers the same deal that our employees get. And as you say, that's worth thousands of dollars. You come into our store, you get employee pricing. This is kind of to call a little bit of a timeout. We've heard some uncertainty from our customers, and we want them to be assured that Ford, the most American auto company, is going to do right by them as are our dealers. We make the most cars here. We employ the most. We export the most. And so we here at Ford, we're in a good position to address customers' concern and give them a really great deal on a great vehicle.
So that's great.
So I'm guessing there's going to be two things here. If you're an American manufacturer like Ford, well, you really can't do much more domestically here. So you offer the friends and family employee discount. I don't know if that's 10, 20, 30%. When I sold sneakers in college at Foot Locker was 30% employee discount. Ooh. So that's cool for Ford. And if you're a foreign automaker, whether it's, you know, Acura, Hyundai, Honda, whatever it might be, you have to open up more plants here, more manufacturing here, more dealership and all this stuff that comes America first here, which, you know, we reported Volvo and Mercedes-Benz looking into doing that as well. So I actually think the automotive thing is going to kind of right itself relatively quickly, is my guess.
I would say so. I think this is a nice gesture from Ford. You know who kind of does this too? AT&T kind of does this also.
Oh, really?
Not that, you know. Well, I have their internet, which is unbelievable. It's always on, which I love, you know, because I came from New York and I had an internet provider in New York that was not always on. So I would call them and say, oh, I have internet 30% of the time, so I'm paying 30% of the bill this month. And they got very upset with me. But that's okay. You know what? Because I said, if you call yourself an internet provider, perhaps you should be in the business of providing internet. Anyway.
Yeah. Novel concept, yeah.
You know, it was insane, right? You know, you pay for a service, maybe deliver it. What was interesting about AT&T is if you get their cell phone plan too, you get like better than their employee. You know, if you bundle the internet and the cell phone and you do it for more than a year or something, you get like really great pricing. So it's called the AT&T something or other. I don't know. It's nice. I'm looking into doing it because you can save a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But then I lose my MLB TV and then I can't watch Texas Rangers blow games in the ninth inning. But that's okay. you know, it's nice. It's a nice gesture. I think this is until June 2nd. Yeah. I think so. It's like it for is. 2 months now.
Yeah. It's. I mean, this is nice a great. Gesture. Yeah, this is a great discount. Like that's a huge discount.
Right.
Yeah.
Getting what employees get. I mean, yeah. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, it's not
if
the
it's
value.
10, if it's 20, yeah. If it's 30. I mean, when I worked at Sherwin-Williams, it was 40%.
Wow.
Which is a lot when you have an $80 gallon of paint.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, yeah, that's a little much.
Anna, did you ever work in a retail place with an employee discount and have all your friends and family hitting you up asking you for discounts all the time?
No, I think I briefly worked at like a sports and supplement place. And so at the time I was in college, none of my girlfriends were really interested in creatine and whey protein.
Hey, Anna, so can you hook me up with a gallon, a big drum of creatine? I'll give you
80%. Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's funny, no problem. When I started my radio career at a rock station, I know, shocking, right? Everybody used to hit me up for concert tickets.
Oh, yeah.
Can you get these concert tickets? Can you get that concert tickets? Oh, it's like, oh, yeah, okay.
I can't even get tickets, and I've been here as an employee for 3 years.
Yeah.
You're not getting squat, pal.
I know. Sorry.
Yeah, stop bothering me.
J.D. Vance was interviewed on Newsmax last night, and he talked about the tariffs, trade, factories, 33, Phil, go.
But we care the most about American workers and about American small businesses, and they're the ones who are really going to benefit from these policies. Think about how many factories we've seen close down. Since NAFTA in the early 90s, 90,000 American factories have been closed down. That's small towns that have been blighted. That's millions of workers who have lost their jobs. That has to stop.
And that's your wheelhouse.
President Trump, that is my wheelhouse.
That's where you're from.
I grew up in a town where you had 10,000 great American steel workers, and my town was one of the lucky ones. Now probably has 1,500 steel workers in that factory because you had economic policies that rewarded shipping our jobs to China instead of investing in American workers. And that's what President Trump. He ran on changing it. He promised he would change it, and now he has. And I think Americans are going to reap the benefits.
You know, Sean, I saw so many people freaking out, mostly Democrats, over the possibility of these short-term financial woes because of the tariffs. But they're the same ones in 2023 and 2024 that told you our economy was thriving and booming, and it's Joe Biden has the stock market, 41, the Dow, this, the S&P, that, and so forth and so on. And I just look at it this way. I don't want to see short-term prices go up. I am not interested in coughing up $3,000 more per year. But if you get out of just the short-term mindset and you think 2, 3, 4 years, if I lose $2,500 this year, but I'm a net gain of $7,500 total by the time Trump's second term is up, that's a win for me. That's a win for all of us. But you have to be able to think like that. This is the same person that probably goes to a casino, has $300, loses their first $50, and starts to panic. You can't think that way. You got to think about the long-term steady Eddie approach, and I think we will get there eventually.
Yeah, you got to think long-term gains instead of short-term pain. This short-term pain is going to happen. Nobody's denying that it's going to happen. But the crazy part is when you looked at, you know, Biden and they said, well, Bidenomics is working because the Dow and the S&P and the NASDAQ. Well, the reason why those you know, indexes and those exchanges and those numbers came in so high and looked so good is because of the amount of fake money that was flooding the system. Right. So, you know, everyone talks about GDP and you know, what has Donald Trump done to the market? And here, cutting spending is going to hurt. Cutting government spending is going to hurt the economy. If your economy is dependent on the government spending money that it doesn't have, then your economy is fake. Like, I don't know. I have no other way to describe it other than like, so if your GDP takes a hit because your government stops spending money that it creates out of nowhere and puts itself into debt, then you don't actually have like a real GDP. So why don't we eliminate the spending and see what happens, and we'll get the real value of things again, because it's inflated. It's been fabricated. These high numbers were essentially, you know, created because dollars were printed off at the Federal Reserve, you know? So I don't have a problem with the short-term pain. Let's get a real value of a real evaluation of what things cost.
Yeah. And on it's like the jobs report with Biden. It was all overrated and inflated with fake numbers that were not real.
Yeah. And it's funny because if you were to tell these same Democrats that these tariffs were going to support the war in Ukraine, they would all be for it, because that's what they wanted the American people to do, is foot the bill for these ridiculous wars that Americans are not interested in fighting. Yeah. And they were expecting the American people to be like, listen, this is what we have to do, you know, for humanity. And they were all for it. But if you tell them that this is actually to save and preserve American jobs and American livelihoods, they have no interest. They have no interest in especially the working class. And even Bernie Sanders said that they completely lost the working class. Mm-hmm. So this is not a way to win them back.
Look, we didn't get $36 trillion in debt overnight. It's not going to be fixed overnight, right? Like, when you are in a debt crisis as a husband, a father, a mother, a daughter, you know, whatever it might be, and you're like, well, eventually, and here's the thing, too, with the American government, eventually you stop being afforded credit. Nobody's going to extend you a line of credit when your credit rating hits the crapper and you're completely in debt. So how do you get out of it? Well, you got to pay off your debt, reestablish your credit score. That means life's going to suck for a while. And then eventually your credit score gets good again. You have more disposable income. Your income to debt ratio is 15 or 20 to 1. And then you're back in the ballgame. Like, this is like making an omelet here. You can't make an omelet unless you crack a few eggs. We didn't get into this financial rut overnight. This was 3, 4, 5 decades of just spending more than we make. You're not going to get out of it just like that. There's no Diet Coke button. Like Trump has the Diet Coke button. There's no button that you can just slap and say, oh, I'm dead free. Right?
Peter Ducey asked Trump yesterday about the markets being way down. I mean, yeah, there's no way to sugarcoat it. The markets took a huge dump yesterday.
Yep.
Roll 20.
The markets today are way down. And we're staying here because of the tariffs. So how's it going?
I think it's going very well. It was an operation, like when a patient gets operated on. And it's a big thing. I said this would exactly be the way it is. We have $6 or $7 trillion coming into our country, and we've never seen anything like it. The markets are going to boom, the stock is going to boom, the country is going to boom, and the rest of the world wants to see, is there any way they can make a deal? They've taken advantage of us for many, many years. For many years, we've been at the wrong side of the ball, and I'll tell you what, I think it's going to be unbelievable. The thing that people have to talk about, we're up almost to $7 trillion of investment coming into our country. And you'll see how it's going to turn out. Our country's going to boom.
There he is, Dr. Trump leaving the hospital for the day. So, Sean, I said this analogy earlier in the show today. Get your thoughts on this. It's like he's a doctor, right? He told you, I'm going to have to repair your torn ACL. When you wake up and the anesthesia wears off, you're going to be in pain. It's going to suck, but in due time, you're going to get back to full speed, full strength, and be able to run just as fast as you used to. I feel like that's what happened. So, and he told us this was going to happen. He didn't lie. He didn't say, oh, it's going to be great. You're not going to feel any pain. He told you it's going to happen. So, I mean, the warning, the writing was on the wall, right?
Yeah, it was definitely on the wall, and especially because last couple times Donald Trump spoke about tariffs, the same kind of reaction happened in the market, and within a week, some of those, pullbacks were not necessarily erased, but the ground was recovered. So, you know, I was watching the stock market, which I don't really play much in, but the crypto market, which I love because it trades 24/7. And I was watching. I had April 2nd and April 3rd circled on my calendar. I labeled it discount day. And there was a lot of good prices yesterday. And I said, smart people who knew this was coming are going to make money over the course of time. So I saw some very attractive prices on the market yesterday and bought them. And there was nobody happier with what happened, at least on the crypto side of things than yours truly. Because I said, hey,
yeah,
I've been waiting for this token to be at an attractive price point. It's there. Thank you. You sold your bag to me. I will buy it and I will hold it and I will be very happy in a few months. I have a feeling. Everyone knew this was coming. It should not shock anybody. The people are, the markets are down. It's like, well, where have you been? We knew this was coming. People were going to freak out. And the reason, again, why it happened over tariffs is because the profit margins of the companies these people are investing in are likely going to take a hit over these policies, which shows you that these companies are not investing in the United States of America, are not hiring Americans, are not sourcing their raw materials from the U.S. And that has to change if they want to be successful in this new environment. It's very simple. Those are the rules. You could like them. You could not like them. But don't freak out over it, what you knew was coming. Yeah. And a lot of people just waited for the market to go down and had the headlines already printed. Press send. That's what happened.
By the way, just doing a little social media check-in here on YouTube. Duffy Domino says, I'm retired, so it hits me more than you youngins. Your salary will rise with inflation. That is true. I mean, it just depends on what state you are in life. Mm-hmm. If you're, you know, depending on stuff like this for your retirement, then it could affect you more than it's going to affect us.
But it also depends on what your salary increases with your raise. Is your raise matching inflation or is it not? You know, if cost of living is up 7%, but your raise is 3%, well,
right,
the math doesn't add up there. So, you know, it's interesting, too. Anna, my mother-in-law, devout Democrat, anti-Trump maniac.
I feel like she's like a reoccurring character on the show.
So I have my mother-in-law who, she's not woke. She's not a progressive. She's actually like a 90s Democrat, but she hates Trump.
Okay.
And
whatever.
Her, my wife's uncle, so my uncle-in-law, I guess, he's all over the place. He's Bernie Sanders meets Alex Jones, if you can process that.
Oh, wow.
Yes. We're actually, they're recurring characters and bits on this show. I think we actually, one day in the summer, we should bring them in for a roundtable discussion.
I would love it.
Riveting radio.
I love it.
Yeah.
But she texted me. She goes, oh, so you're on board with the tariffs? If Biden did that, you'd be throwing a conniption. I said, here's the difference. Trump showed he could utilize them effectively the first time. Had Joe Biden executed tariffs with a track record of executing them in the past successfully, I would be like, all right, let's wait and see. I hope Joe's right. I'm consistent. If they blow up in Trump's face, you can take it to the bank on this show that I can only speak for myself, I will criticize Trump for costing me money. But in the long term, I don't think it's going to be the way it plays out.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope so.
Exactly.
I think a lot of this is just is fake outrage on the side of the Democrats. Kind of like I said before, they don't mind spending money when it's like fraud, corruption, DEI, sex changes in Serbia or whatever the hell we are sponsoring,
right.
The war in Ukraine. But as soon as it's tariffs and it's it could at all benefit the working class and the American people, then they have they have beef with it.
They're cool with money going to Iraq to fund Sesame Street in the Middle East.
Osama bin Elmo, right? And they have no issues. They have no issues circumcising mice in Mozambique. But when we start imposing tariffs, and that's one of the things that got me mad about what Rand. And I love Rand Paul. I'm a big fan of Rand Paul. But that's something that got me mad. He said, "Well, this is a form of taxation without representation." It's like, all right. Well, I don't remember ever voting for our government to send money to Iraq for. Sesame Street or any of these stupid, spending sprees that we've gone. Let's study male pattern baldness in space. What a great idea.
Send me
like,
up.
I never. who is
Nick's actually down for that.
Hair, right? I got beautiful,
beautiful hair.
It's like, who's representing me with that one?
Yeah,
right? So you
exactly.
want to talk about taxing without representation?
Yeah.
Why don't we start with the waste?
Yeah, Sean, nobody thinks about us. People in our 40s or you in your 30s have beautiful hair. Nobody thinks about us.
Yep.
Well, it's called flow. We call it flow, right? It flows. It's flow. It's beautiful. And they call it amber waves. No, they call it golden waves of grain, right? That's what they call it. It's a beautiful thing.
Speaking of people who are kind of wishy-washy about the tariffs thing, you mentioned Rand Paul. Ted Cruz is also another one. But he has a little bit more faith, I think, than Rand Paul does. Cut 24.
So Larry, I'm always in favor of more tax cuts and bigger tax cuts. And I'm fighting to make this tax cut as big and bold as possible. Look, I think it is a mistake to assume that we will have high tariffs in perpetuity. I don't think that would be good economic policy. I am not a fan of tariffs. And the announcement yesterday, look, time is going to tell in the next month or two or three what happens. If the result of yesterday's announcement is a lot of our trading partners across the globe dramatically reduce the tariffs they charge on U.S. goods and services, and the consequence of that is the U.S. government dramatically cuts the tariffs that were announced yesterday, that would be a great outcome. That would be good for America. If the result is our trading partners jack up their tariffs and we have high tariffs everywhere, I think that is a bad outcome for America. Tariffs are a tax on consumers, and I'm not a fan of jacking up taxes on American consumers. So my hope is these tariffs are short-lived and they serve as leverage to lower tariffs across the globe. So
Let's talk about these other nations here, and let's just kind of pontificate and prognosticate a little bit. What do we think will happen? Now, does a nation like China have the ability to up their tariffs and play more hardball with us? The European Union, Japan, yes. But remember, there was 160 or 170 nations that were hit with, as Trump calls them, discounted reciprocal tariffs. So do you think some of these slapdick nations like Bangladesh charging us a 74% tariff, do you think if we hit them, and I'm looking at the charts here, so they tariff us, Bangladesh.
By the way, that math is a little off. They're not charging us a 74% tariff. I think it's the difference between incoming and outcoming or something like that.
Here's how it's labeled.
Trade deficit.
Yes.
Tariffs charged to the U.S., including currency manipulation and trade barriers. So the number for Bangladesh is 74%. We are doing 37%, so that's half of it. Do you think Bangladesh could actually survive 37% the United States charging, or will they cave? Like, I think a lot of these nations that you couldn't find on a map will eventually drop their tariffs or reduce them. I think the four or five power nations like China will be in it for the longer haul, although I hope I'm wrong, and maybe they drop theirs as well or reduce them. I don't see it, my point being, I think a majority of these nations will eventually give in to Donald Trump. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think Trump even announced it yesterday that a bunch of countries have already started calling him to say, what can we do to avoid this, right? So I think a nation like Bangladesh, and yeah, you bring up 74%, and that's a combination of, like he said, currency manipulation and a trade deficit. So essentially, hey, buy more from us, get, you know, give us more business or we're going to crush you. And by the way, I'm sorry if you're a Bangladeshi, but you can't survive if we do that. And that's called having a position of leverage. I have no problem leveraging strong positions. This is what our country should be doing because we don't represent the rest of the world. We're supposed to be doing right by us, by our people. We, the people, elected Donald Trump to put us and our country in a better position. If that means picking on Bangladesh and some of these countries that really shouldn't have a say in the matter, oh, well, you know, sorry, you got dealt a bad hand. This is the United States, and we don't have to kiss anybody else's rear end over that. Well, if we do this, it's not going to help them. Too bad. Pierre Poilievre yesterday with Canada was, we can't rely on the United States as a trade partner anymore. All right, find somebody else who's closer to you on your southern border who you're going to trade with, like the United States of America. We go France? You're going to go back with them?
Oh, don't get him started with that.
Don't get him started. Yeah. Here we go.
Yeah. You know, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
So if it does, I think a 37% tariff would absolutely crush Bangladesh. Would I feel bad about it? Probably not,
no.
Because they could avoid it.
Yeah.
Okay? It sucks to suck is essentially the end of the day. People are like, that's cold. Maybe it's cold. I'm tired of watching my country get taken advantage of by Bangladesh.
Yeah.
If that makes me a bad person, then I'm a bad person.
Yeah.
I don't really care.
Yeah.
I want my country to be adequately represented.
As John Kennedy, senator from Louisiana, would say,
try harder not to suck.
Exactly right.
Yeah, I definitely think this is going to push a lot of nations to the negotiating table. I think you mentioned yesterday that even Israel has dropped some of their tariffs. Is that right?
They dropped all of them.
They did.
Right. That's
true. They dropped them all.
And fun fact, sorry, go ahead.
But they didn't erase they didn't take away their non-tariff barriers, right? So there are some products that America exports that are not legal to sell in Israel. And Donald Trump said, oh, those are still there. The tariffs remain, right? Which look, that's hardball. That's a position of strength, right? And I have no problem with that. I don't.
It's actually amazing that Israel would tariff anything in the United States, considering all we do for Israel as their biggest ally in the battle against all these madmen that want to behead people that view you as infidels. Just one last little tidbit here on the tariffs. It looks like the 10% reciprocal tariffs do match. So Colombia, Turkey, Chile, Brazil, they were charging the United States 10%. So Trump just matched them 10 for 10. It's the other ones that, like Thailand, 72%. Trump came in at half of that, 36%. India, 52%. America comes in at 26%. So that's kind of the theme. If you don't want to have your eyes go cross-eyed and look at all 72 nations on a big menu board like Trump was holding on TV, basically, if it's 10%, we hit you back with 10. If you're hitting us with an exorbitant number, we are relatively around 50%. There you go.
One more on the tariffs thing. Jim Cramer, who's been right about absolutely nothing. kudos to Jim Cramer. He's a Philly guy. I once sat next to him at a Eagles-Giants game. He was a very nice guy. But he's on his show. He's been absolutely right about nothing. He says he feels like a sucker. He was let down by Trump's tariffs. Roll this.
So what the heck is going on?
Well, I'm let down because yes, I'm not a free trader. I'm a fair trader, always have been from the days when you work with me at CNBC.
Yep.
And what I was hoping was that a coordinated thing where if you are charging us 20%, we charge you 20. Mm-hmm. Instead of a car where we're only making you pay 2.5 and you're not letting us in, we try to get things better. But
right. thing, you go, if they're 10 on a car, you go 10 on a car.
But I went deep on the numbers today and the numbers did not make any sense. And I was actually...
I was doing like bananas in Vietnam. You did Kramerica.
Well, I just said, you know, it's one of these things where if I'm doing 100 billion and you're letting me do 10 billion and I'm letting you do 100 billion, there was a way to be able to make it work. But the numbers that they did, and they had this ridiculous I mean, that was the chart that they had with the mathematical equation. I mean, are you kidding me? How about just like
it looked like an Einstein?
I know. How about the fact that it was just wrong? Yeah. And what bothered me, Aaron, was that they really did over and over again. The president said, "Listen, it's going to be reciprocal. So you do it, we do it, and that was going to be so good." And I really believed in it. And I feel like a sucker tonight. Because I am not a free trader, and I do not believe in free trade. And I was just as tough, if not tougher, than his people. But they screwed it up, and they really made, they did it a totally ill-advised way. And I was very let down as someone who really, truly believes that free trade is awful for the American working person. This is what they came up with. Jeez, come on. Have some gumption. Have some math.
So if history serves us correctly here, the Trump administration nailed everything to a T, right? Because Jim Cramer gets everything wrong. So if Cramer gets everything wrong, then apparently Trump, and he's on the wrong. So whatever Cramer says,
just do the opposite.
It's like fading somebody with sports betting picks that gets every game wrong. Just pick the opposite and you're going to win 8 out of 10 times.
It's called the inverse Cramer rule. There are jokes in, among like trading communities on X where like when Jim Cramer says to buy Bitcoin, that is when you sell. Yeah. The top is it. You know what I mean? Like,
whatever the Jets do the opposite.
Right. Or like Mike Francesa, right? He does the same thing. This guy's a bum and he's going to lose.
Ends up in the Hall of Fame.
Get lost. And then the next thing you know, he pitches like a perfect game. And pitches like to an under one ERA. And then a caller calls in and is like, "Hey, Mike, remember when you said Jacob DeGrom was terrible?" I've never said that.
Wait a second.
What a reference.
What a mess. But yeah, the inverse Cramer rule. That's treated a lot of people very well.
Well,
I think Nancy Pelosi uses that to make her trades because she's been very successful and she's been about as good as Cramer has been bad. So,
let me just, I was looking for my Nancy. It's too late now. The joke's gone. So I'm no expert on tariffs by any stretch, but my thought yesterday was, and I had this in the big take, was because I think a lot of people, like Cramer is saying there, were expecting, you know, if the America's getting whacked to the tune of 81%, Trump's going to give the same 81% back to said nation that's charging us 81%. And I think maybe, just maybe, and I'm guessing here, I could be wrong, that Howard Lutnick probably wanted to go down that road. But then when you look at some of the other financial advisors in this administration, probably most notably Scott Bessent, I think maybe cooler heads prevailed and more modest tariffs. And Sean, you had a great explanation yesterday. Well, if you hit them with 100% tariff and they don't budge, I mean, where do you go from there, right? You start a little bit lower. Maybe it's 27%. And if 6 weeks goes by and they're still playing hardball, well, up that to 54%, right?
Right. That's what I'm saying. That's why I think he started at that level and why it says on the chart, discounted reciprocal tariffs. Basically, Donald Trump saying, "We're doing, this is me being nice. You don't want to see me when we're not being nice."
Right.
You know, it's a good sales tactic, honestly. You don't shoot all your bullets at the beginning of your pitch, right?
Right. It's like when you're negotiating for more money. You start high and work your way down a little bit. You don't start low.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly. You know, you have a number in mind, you overshoot that number on the off chance that whoever it is says, "All right, no problem." And then it's like, "Whoa, I got more than I was going to bargain for."
Right.
But you have a goal in mind. And I think Donald Trump's goal isn't to keep these tariffs in place on a lot of these countries, maybe some of them as a way to raise revenue like China. But I think his goal is to just level the playing field and essentially go towards, you know, free trade in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have a problem with him doing that. If he had come out, you know, 1-for-1 instead of, you know, 1-to-2, right, and coming at him with half of the number that some of these countries are charging. Yeah, like you said, if a lot of them start to say, no, we're going to tariff you even more, where does Trump go? He just matches them 1-for-1 like that or what? So I think it was a negotiate, like a way to kind of say, this is us being nice, you know, let's negotiate now before things really get ugly.
Yeah.
You think this is bad? Look at how much worse it could get.
I mean, it's like the housing market on it. If a house is listed for 500 grand, it's a competitive market. You're not going to offer 700 grand for that house. I mean, that person will take it in a heartbeat, but you're going to look like a fool. I mean, I say that. It's a funny story. And Greg, you know this area, Bluebell. This neighborhood that I'll be living in a couple of months, there was a home that was on the market for $714,000. You want to talk about how crazy the housing market is right now? Listed for $714,000, it just sold. Somebody came in $93,000 above asking price at $807,000. Could you imagine living a life where you had the ability to come in almost $100,000 above asking price?
You have to. You have to these days.
I know.
You have to.
I know.
You know.
What a luxury to have, though.
It's crazy.
Gosh.
I don't know if you guys saw this. Get on over to YouTube, youtube.com/at1210WPHT. Nick, I know you had this in the show sheet, but we're not going to get to it on the show sheet, so we might as well do it on the cut sheet.
It's
right?
A tradition unlike any other.
So did CNN have their orange filter on for Trump's speech? Because they did a side-by-side comparison to, I think it was CNN and Fox.
Okay.
Sean, did you see this?
I did. I saw that.
Yeah,
it was hilarious.
They did a side-by-side with CNN and Fox. CNN, Trump looks way more orange than Fox does. YouTube.com/at1210WPHT if you want to see this video. Phil, roll it. And, Nick, you can comment along. Since
all right, so there's one big screen, CNN on the right, Trump's orange. Mm. There it is on Fox, and he looks normal complexion.
Yes.
Normal complexion
look
on the left, orange on CNN.
Yeah.
Now they pan back. There's the two TVs.
Wow.
Noticeably different.
That is, yeah.
Same exact day and setting. I don't think, yeah, announces sweeping changes, baseline. Yeah, so it's not two different broadcasts of different days.
No.
Or different times of the year. I kind of waited to comment on this because I was waiting to see if the video got community noted for being altered. But apparently, Sean wasn't on with us at this point this morning. Either Anna or Greg mentioned CNN has a past history of doing this with, did you say Joe Rogan?
Joe Rogan, they made him look more pale or green when he had COVID and he was coming out saying all these things about how ivermectin was working and he was kicking COVID's butt. And he played side by sides of like how his face looked on Instagram versus how it looked on CNN because they wanted to make him look sicker. So CNN is not above these tactics, clearly.
Wow. Well, Time Magazine did this in with OJ back in the 90s.
They made him blacker.
They made him.
I was just about to say that.
They made him blacker, and it was like they made him more menacing looking.
Yes,
and
I never forget Johnny Cochran in the FX 10-part series. Is holding the magazine.
Yep.
And the way they shaded it, they made him look like a more violent offender.
Yep.
They created that narrative for an agenda. I'll never forget that. Great pull by you.
Can you put up the side by side once again, Phil, for the people just coming over to YouTube? If you fast forwarded there, just the end there. Yeah. I mean, that's not that is clearly. What kind of filter would you use on that, though?
Orange.
You could just tweak the saturation.
Can you?
Probably, and that would. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think if you just up the saturation and kind of just barely change the temperature, and you can even do it by isolating the face because you can see side by side. The white isn't as stark with the CNN clip the CNN side of it. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, that's true.
So you can you know, so the white is almost more kind of blue. So it looks like they may have adjusted like even the shirt. You look at Donald Trump's shirt on CNN versus Fox, the white's not as stark. So it looks like a temperature thing. And they did it, you know, to make Trump look orange, which by the way, I prefer him orange. He looks healthier.
Well, and I was going to say, and this just goes to show you how fake news CNN really is.
Eating a lot of carrots. Yeah.
You don't need to doctor his orange. I mean, there it was a few weeks ago he did an interview with Hannity, or who, I forget who it was with, and he was really orange. Like, you could tell they went a little heavy on the spray tan, right?
Yeah.
Like, he does it to himself. You don't need to alter it. There's going to be plenty of times throughout the year where the Trump tan is a little off base and excessive.
Right. I guess this is part of the resistance we're talking about.
Yes.
Just making him. Yeah,
right.
I guess.
Right.
Yeah. Just to make him orange because that's all they got in their back pocket because he's doing so well otherwise. So,
I mean,
orange man bad is the thing, right? So you have to have an orange man to be bad, right?
Yeah.
So they have to make him orange if he's not appearing orange.
Right. That's like if you hate me and you hate my opinions. And then you take a little doctored video of us on YouTube and make me a little fatter than I am. You don't need to do that. The vodka and tequila is doing that naturally.
Did you say that you're giving up alcohol? Do I recall?
By the way, I'm 5 days into the diet. I've lost 2.2 pounds.
What kind of diet are you doing?
Just cutting out alcohol, sugar, carbs, eating whole, healthy, clean food, smaller portions,
And, you sound like a hostage, Sam.
I am.
All right,
I've been in a Gaza tunnel for a while.
Yeah. We're doing the carnivore.
Okay. Will Leslie Stahl ask if I was starved or if the hostages
food.
Did? Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, 2.2 pounds, I mean, that could be a bowel movement.
That's correct. Like,
stop that, Greg.
5 days. 15 pounds in three
stop
months.
That.
I went from 215 to 212.8. Weighed myself this morning at 4 a.m.
Round down.
Round down. 2.2 pounds. That is, you know, Chris Christie is taking bigger dumps, right? But, I mean, look at Chris Christie.
Hey, I want pace for 8 pounds in a month.
That's really not bad.
Yeah,
honestly.
No, that's, yeah, yeah. That's
really not
that's
bad.
That's good. It's,
right.
It's the healthiest way. You don't want to lose a lot of weight in a fast period of time.
And you don't want to be 215 at 5'9".
Yeah, Ozempic is fake.
Yeah, don't.
No, I don't do that stuff. No,
don't do Ozempic. By the way, while we have some people over here that wanted to check out that video, why don't we keep them around with Walmart? this is Cut 35. If you've been a long listener of the show, you know I absolutely despise Walmart.
Yeah.
Walmart, France. What else?
The Walmart, Kennedys. France, the Kennedys.
Elvis.
Social media.
Elvis, thank you.
Elvis.
You don't like Elvis?
Oh, yeah.
Why? You think he's, like, overrated?
I hate Elvis. He's a creep that's been idolized over the years. Like,
Greg likes to point out the fact that he died constipated on a can.
Yeah.
Is that true?
From taking too much.
Elvis died constipated?
Yeah, from taking too many drugs.
Yeah, like pain pills.
Loser.
Yeah.
That's got to be an awful way to go. Like, would you rather go with just terminal cancer or constipated on the junk?
Well, I think he actually had a heart attack because he was eating peanut butter and banana sandwiches made for by his mama as he was taking pain pills.
Yeah.
But I digress. This is not about Elvis. This is about awful Walmart. So let's go to because Walmart, you see people in their pajamas and their and it's just like
it's like
the lowest common denominator, and there's fights in it. Here's
that's the best part about going to Walmart is that you might see one.
Anna goes to Florida Walmart at 2 a.m.
Oh my god, it's the best. I love Walmart.
Here's what I mean. You're just shopping along, you want to pick up, you know, some Rice Krispies, a t-shirt, and a shotgun, say, because you can buy all of those things.
They got it all, yeah, exactly.
You can buy all of those things at Walmart, and you go in, and you see this. Roll it, Phil. Look at this.
Here we go.
Just another day.
Off to the races.
Wow.
Look at the, like, just fighting.
Wow.
Yep.
There's butt cheeks.
It's like a women's elimination chamber match. In WWE.
Yeah, the Royal Rumble.
All right, we've got shoppers, we've got Walmart greeters that are there in retirement, just trying to earn a couple of bucks a week. Look at this.
It's like an insane asylum.
Yep.
Oh,
you wouldn't want to see that live, Greg?
No!
He pivoted down the other aisle.
I would, too. They're throwing things. Look at these people.
There goes a can of green beans.
Look at this.
Oh.
There goes the Alpo dog food.
By the way, I'm not an elitist, and I don't shop at Whole Foods, but, like, you guys don't see this at Whole Foods.
You don't see this at Target.
Yeah, you see this at Walmart.
This is why I go. Wow. I love this. I don't know. I love a good fight.
So
I love a good fight.
All right, so
if I walked in on that, I would be doing play-by-play.
I was just going to ask, of everybody on the show, do you call for help, do you call police, or do you start pulling out your phone and filming?
Oh, I'm pulling out my. I am pulling out my phone, and I am doing playback. Hey, look at this one! Wow, that's a walrus right there. Look at the walrus. Cuckoo-ca-choo. Look at that! Wow, she's throwing green beans. You're not supposed to do that.
Yeah, that's the next world star video right there.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I've never seen it happen in a Tennessee Walmart. I mean, there's been some crazy stuff, and it's Walmart. But like, I don't mind it because it is a one stop shop. And if there's one thing I hate the most about anything, it's shopping. I can't stand it. But I also won't order on Amazon because they have a reputation of sending me duds. I mean, just things that, like, a friend of mine ordered probiots on Amazon. They're fake.
Oh, really?
He doesn't know what he took. Yeah, fake.
Wow.
Doesn't know what he took. Has no idea. I mean, it was, like, you know, one of those independent sellers. It wasn't like Amazon tried to kill him, but
yeah.
You know.
See, this is where I totally flip. I don't pull out the phone. I pull out my handgun. I fire two shots up into the ceiling, get everybody's attention, and then I start shouting, I came here for a big screen and a DiGiorno pizza. Get out of my way.
By the way, I can't say this, but Road Warrior on the YouTube chat, you are correct. Moving on.
Look at what that comment was.
Moving on. This is Cut 34. J.D. Vance spoke yesterday to Rob Schmidt on Newsmax, talking about Greenland, you know, because he went to Greenland. They want to make a deal with Greenland.
Well, right? They're really obsessed with this Greenland, aren't they?
They are.
It's pretty strategic where it's located. And as the ice melts in the Arctic, whether you believe in climate change or not, it seems like it's opening up a lot of trade routes, especially from
China.
Look
at this. Greenland expert Anna Hummel.
By the way, I'm picking up what Road Warrior's putting down. Just going to say that. You know, a couple of other comments in the chat.
I'm
just
saying
to the same idea.
No, don't get obsessed with the YouTube chat.
I'm just saying. You know what I mean?
And then you get distracted and you have no idea what's going on in the show.
That's right.
Greg's going to yell at you.
Yeah, I'm the only one who's allowed to look at the YouTube chat because...
Greenland.
Yeah. Greenland, thank you, Sean.
Yeah, let's go back to the phones.
Rolling.
You know what's not over in Greenland?
What?
What you just saw at Walmart.
Yeah, that's
Americans, by the way, don't fully realize how important this is to our own security. Yeah. So all of the missile defense that we have depends on having a presence in Greenland, because you think, God forbid, if somebody fires a missile at us, it's going to come over the Arctic. We need to have the visibility of what's going on there. And look, Denmark, which of course controls Greenland right now, they've really underinvested in the infrastructure and the security of Greenland. The president, what he said, of course the media attacks it, but it's very common sense. It's, look, this matters to our security, this matters to our missile defense, and we're going to protect America's interests come hell or high water.
Man, J.D. Vance with a good answer. Not as good as Anna Hummel's answer before the cut. Anna, do you have any more Denmark knowledge that you want to drop on us, or Greenland knowledge?
I think I recall that China tried to build an airport on Greenland, you know, with their whole infrastructure plan. And America caught wind of it and reached out to Denmark and said, absolutely not. So they foiled that. But, it's a really strategic place, especially as the ice caps melt and it's open for trade routes. So
if this would happen, if America took Greenland by force or if they partnered together is some sort of deal where we'll protect you and, you know, Trump will try to broker some sort of deal to become occupants or co-occupants of Greenland. Sean Farish, I'm going to guess that the left is going to have a meltdown, even if the intention is to protect America from foreign invaders from the north.
What's crazy about the Greenland thing is it gives us, like Anna said, a strategic position against Russia, which apparently the left hates, except when we're trying to strategically position ourselves against them. Now the left is apparently going to love Russia because they don't see the strategic importance of Greenland. So, I know he was going after Greenland in his first term. He was talking about it towards the end of his first term. And I'm happy that he's talking about it again because the left does get caught up in the Greenland stuff. And, I wouldn't mind having it. Right?
Well,
let's
bring
it in. At the Arctic Circle. Yeah. It's nice to be up there.
What would that really do to the Trump is Putin's puppet narrative of the left?
Right.
If Trump fears Russia or is using this to, you know, kind of... blockade Russia from coming down through that, you know, we'll call it that navigational path, right? Like then all of a sudden it's, well, I guess Trump and Putin aren't buddies because Trump's trying to stay one step ahead of big bad Russia.
They'll probably say something along the lines of, well, now he's up there and he's going to charge everybody, you know, the tariffs for crossing those trade routes and he's being soft on Russia. They'll find a way to spin it. But the fact of the matter is the reason why he does want Greenland, or part of the reason why he wants Greenland, is for those strategic, you know, the strategic location. He is afraid that Russia or China will buy that territory and it would put us in a worse position.
We should take a break. But on the other side, Sean, I know you have a lot of thoughts on this because I saw your Twitter thread last night. I want to get into the Austin Metcalf story, and we should do that on the other side.
All right, Kale and Company, as we continue, 8 o'clock hour. Brought to you by the good people at Wawa with Wawa's $2, $4, or $6 menu. Mm. You can craft the order you want with options at $2, $4, and $6. Pick one or try them all. Available now for a limited time. Gotta have a Wawa. Kale and Company. Nick, Anna, Sean, and Greg. Back after this on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale and Company on demand. From Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Austin Metcalf was a 17-year-old Texas student who was stabbed to death at a high school track meet. who died in his twin brother's arms. A 17-year-old high schooler was stabbed to death in Texas during a track meet on Wednesday following an alleged confrontation over a seat in the stands. The teen's father said he died in his twin brother's arms after the stabbing. Austin Metcalf was at the regional high school track and field championship at the stadium when police say he was fatally stabbed by 17-year-old Carmelo Anthony.
Not Carmelo Anthony, formerly of the New York Knicks.
No, this is Carmelo Anthony with a K. Okay. Anthony has been arrested and charged with first-degree murder, according to NBC5. Speaking to the news outlet, Metcalf's father, Jeff, said that Anthony fatally stabbed Metcalf when the alleged killer got upset after he was told he was sitting in the wrong seat. The dynamic of this is the race, I believe, of the victim and the race of the alleged, I guess I have to say, stabbing
perpetrator.
Thank you. And there's been conflicting reports whether race played anything to do with this. Now, the father has said no.
The father of the victim,
Austin Metcalf, has said no. His mother. Austin Metcalf's mother and his twin brother were on with Will Kane yesterday. This is a little hard to, I mean, you know, they're obviously very upset. There's also talk about if it was right for Will Kane to have the mother and brother on. Let's roll this and we can dive into this afterwards.
And then I saw him out of fall. I would go over there. I grabbed him.
Let's go.
Yeah, I understand. Best I can.
But yeah, you can picture what happened when, you know, what was coming out of his chest, and
yeah.
Y'all can visualize that yourself. I don't want to put down my mom right now, but I pushed my hand on there, try to make it stop, and I grabbed his head and I looked in his eyes. I just saw his soul leave. It took my soul too.
I'm so sorry. I'm going to ask you one last question. I've seen interviews with your husband, who I can hear in the side, by the way. I think he's there in the room with you. I saw an interview last night. Okay. Someone else. Yes, okay.
Yes, sir.
But I have seen interviews with your husband in the last 24 hours.
I'm guessing their lawyer.
It was remarkable to me that I heard your husband say within hours of this that he forgave this other young man, and he got there so quickly. And I honestly don't know that I could. And I just want to see, and I don't know that there's a right or a wrong place to be, especially as quickly as this has happened. Megan, how do you feel on that front today?
I am not like their dad. I am so angry at that boy. It's just not fair. That's all I have.
I understand.
I'd like to say it's forgave, not forgotten, but I'm not at that point yet to forgive that kid for what he did to my brother. Because, you know, 17 years, my best friend just there in the blink of an eye, I lost him. So I'm not at that
point. Oh, so dad forgives. Mom is angry. Brother's in the middle.
Let me play the father as well so we can kind of wrap all this up in a neat bow. That's a horrible thing to say, but you know what I mean. roll the father.
I want to clarify something right off the start because I've already heard some rumors and gossip. This was not a race thing. Mm-hmm. And this is not a political thing. Please do not comment. If you do not know what happened, do not turn this into a racial thing. It was not. Do not politicize this. It's not. This is a human being thing. This person made a bad choice and it affected both his family and my family forever.
Wow.
So from what I gather is that the alleged perpetrator was in allegedly the wrong seat. The family, was it the brother who asked him to move or said, hey, you're in the wrong seat, that's my seat, to which then he stabs him? Or I've also heard that the brother intervened. I don't know if it was with one of the parents where the parent might have said, excuse me, you're in the wrong seat. And then we have what plays out, which
should never play out that way. The fact that anybody would stab somebody over being called out for being in the wrong seat. I mean, normal human beings, to the father's credit, this isn't a political thing. This isn't a social, racial thing. This is a human being thing. Why would you ever resort to stabbing somebody over being called out for you being in the wrong spot?
Well, I want to just one more thing. Phil, can you put up that photo? And I don't know if this is, so this is the victim on the left there, if you're watching on YouTube, and then the perpetrator
in the middle, yes, and the right
with a gun and holding the middle finger. So, this was on X. I don't know how true these photos are, but you know, I'm just putting it all out there.
So for me, I mean, this comes down to obviously the lawless nature of a society that we live in. This is, you said, a high school track meet?
Yep.
So I'm just assuming that
they were both 17, right?
They were both 17.
And they were both, I mean, this is obviously, I'm guessing the venue is a track where you have maybe the track around the football field, yeah, where exactly you have bleachers and stands. Yep. I mean, this is pretty much cut and dry for me. I mean, this is first degree murder. He's 17, I think, so technically a minor, should still be charged as an adult, barring any, you know, cognitive or mental issue. If he's a fully functioning 17-year-old, I mean, if I'm the prosecutor, I'm charging him first degree. I guess my question, the more debatable subject, even though I don't think this is debatable, and then I want you guys to jump in, I don't want to take up everybody's time. I don't have a problem with Will Cain conducting the interview, assuming, I mean, let's face it, the mom and the son looked like they were willing to do it. Now, I guess there might have been a lawyer in the background there. If Will Cain's taking any flack for interviewing that person, I think it's misguided. From what I gather from what you said, Greg, the mainstream media is not covering this story a ton.
I haven't seen it. No.
My assumption would be because it doesn't fit their narrative.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. I have no problem with Will Cain doing the interview. Matter of fact, I think he did a phenomenal job. I think it was real. It was raw. And it was I saw it happen live. And it was incredibly tough to watch that mother, to watch that twin brother. I believe his name is Hunter Metcalf, I believe. Is
yes,
the,
sir.
The twin brother.
Yeah, you're correct.
He handled it really well. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's 17 also.
Yeah.
I have to agree with the father on one thing. I don't believe the attack was racially motivated, right?
Yeah.
There are a lot of people who are ready to turn it into a race thing, and you're falling into the same trap that honestly the radical left and those who want to divide society want you to fall into, that you're just looking at color instead of looking at what really happened here, and instead of tragedy happened here, right? So the racial side of this that I am going to be talking about is why the mainstream media won't cover the story. Not necessarily why the attack took place, but why you don't hear about it on an MSNBC or a CNN, why you're not hearing about it from prominent left-wing figures. And if the roles were reversed here and the races were reversed here, you can almost guarantee without a shadow, you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you would hear about it on those networks. But do I believe that Carmelo Anthony, the kid, the alleged, you know, perpetrator, stabbed and killed Austin Metcalf intentionally over skin color? I don't believe that's what happened. I don't believe that it was a racially motivated attack. That said, the dynamics of what took place, if they were reversed and inversed, right, you'd hear about it on all the mainstream channels, beyond the shadow of, and they would not be wasting any time labeling it a racially motivated attack, even though in both cases, I would say it isn't. This was something snapped in the perpetrator's head, in Carmelo Anthony's head. Apparently, according to the, you know, during the full interview, Hunter Metcalf explains how this went on. They had a tent or something propped up where they were sitting to keep their seats dry, and all their stuff was there, and this kid was sitting in it, and they told him, you know, this isn't your seat, you know, you need to move, and it escalated from there, and then Austin kind of stepped up and said, listen, this is not your seat. You know, get out of the seat. And he got and the kid pulled the knife and stabbed him and killed him. I agree with Nick. He should be charged as an adult. I don't think there's any two ways about it. There's there's no excuse for this. And shame on the rest of the media again for not even. And I'm not saying you have to cover it like it's a race event, because I don't think it's a race event. But to not to ignore this young man's death at all is just that is criminally negligent. If you're talking about the way the media should be practiced, this is a story and it should be talked about. And you don't have to come on if you're Rachel Maddow and point out color and point out this and point out that. That's not what it's about. It's a tragedy. It should be talked about. And the fact that they're not talking about it tells you everything you need to know about the mainstream media. Yep. That's the story, in my opinion.
Anna, your thoughts?
Yeah, so it seems like they're not only not covering it, but somehow Kane is getting backlash for conducting the interview. From who? Like, who is upset that he's covering? The facts haven't all come out yet, and maybe the guy said a racial slur? Is that, like, kind of what they're hoping and waiting for?
Saying that it's exploitative? Exploitative?
Exploitative?
Yeah.
Well, it seems like the left-wing media has some sick fetish with turning any sort of conflict between two people, if they happen to be different colors or different ethnicities, it's automatically a race thing. And I think the rest of us kind of agree that we don't just like get a boner every time some conflict happens, that it's like, oh my God, it's clearly race motivated, which it's not. Human beings have conflicts. I certainly think, you know, judging from what I know and what I see, that it's not so much race, but it seems like culture might play a role in terms of how this kid was raised and the environment in which he grew up.
Exactly.
But here's the big issue with the media. The media selectively picks and chooses a la carte when identity and gender and race matter, right?
Of course.
So what they do, and the Associated Press is a perfect example of this, when the perpetrator is white, they will put in the headline, white man, blah, 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 blah. And you just what did we just talk about yesterday? The final police report from the Nashville transgender shooter, Audrey Hale.
Absolutely. Mm.
And what happens? They did not mention in the final report, well, not one time, that she was of the transgender community. So when it's if it's a Trump supporter that does this, it's a MAGA Republican, white man, blah, blah, blah. If it's somebody in a marginalized, quote, marginalized community or a minority or somebody that's not straight, they
doesn't fit the narrative.
They don't
they
put those identities in the headline, but which is the ultimate hypocrisy. You shove identity politics. Everything is about race and gender to the left, except when that person commits the crime. It's what Dawn talks about all the time. It's bias by omission from the media. And to be fair, there are people on the right that omit and have bias. I call a spade a spade. To me, it shouldn't matter what your race or gender is. All that matters are the facts, the facts, and the facts. And right now the facts are this guy allegedly stabbed this guy to death and the kid bled out in his brother's arms.
Why don't we ask the question that really matters without race, right? And I'm not asking this question because of the race of the alleged murderer. Does he have a father in the home? Yeah. I don't know the question. Yeah. I don't know the answer to that question.
And
is this a situation where there is no father? Because honestly, there are white kids who grow up in homes without a dad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure.
And you see very similar behavior.
Sure.
It has nothing to do
with race,
with the melanin component of the kid's skin.
Agreed.
And everything to do with his upbringing. Does this, I have a hard time, you know, he's holding up that gun. I don't know if it was a real gun or if it was a prop. I have no idea.
Sure.
You know, taking pictures with the middle finger up. And listen, I've seen kids do that too.
Sure.
Whatever. Is there a father in his home? We don't know. I'm not saying there is or there isn't. And I'm not asking that question because the alleged murderer is black. I'm asking that question because of how the alleged murderer acted.
To your point, I just did a quick search. Percentage of boys, you can search this yourself. I used Google just on the fly. Percentage of boys, regardless of race, this is what I typed in the search. Percentage of boys who grow up without a father. The AI overview response on Google. Approximately 31.5% of boys under 18 are living in a home without their biological father.
with 62.5% living in an intact biological family. So about a third of young men today grow up without their biological dad in the house. We have a fatherhood epidemic in this country where dudes are not taking responsibility for their offspring.
Take that a step further. How many of the kids who grow up without a father wind up becoming criminals?
Yes. Yeah. That probably a high number.
Criminals.
By the way, Phil, throw up that photo again, because Megan Mush brings up a good point. In the one photo, and again, this is all from X, so I don't know if these are real photos or not, but if I'm going by these photos here, Sean brought up a good point that we don't know if the gun is real or not. True, we don't. But I believe he's throwing up a gang sign there.
Yeah, it looks like it.
In the middle.
Yeah, while he's... Mm. Yeah, not the middle finger. In the middle, he's throwing up a gang sign there. So, culture does play a factor in this. And when I say culture, I don't mean black and white culture. I mean, the home life. You know what I mean? Was he a part of a gang? Was he... We don't know any of this. All we're going by is what we see. So, if he's throwing up gang signs, you know, is he a wannabe gangster? Probably. Maybe. I don't know.
He's probably not on the honor roll.
Exactly.
Be safe to assume. But you do need to know all the facts. But it seems like, unfortunately, he grew up in a community, in an environment that was not very nurturing and, fostering success.
I think we just live really in an angry society. You know, it's the devaluing of human life.
Yep.
Whether it's in a Donnybrook in a Walmart in 2 a.m.
Donnybrook.
Fighting over the last thing on Black Friday the last Xboxes are available for a great rate. I mean, that's why I don't go shopping on Black Friday the day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Excuse me. It's Friday of color, by the way.
I'm not fighting you over a 58-inch television marked down to $200. You can have
it. And one of my favorite movies is Walk of Color, Dan, by the way. We love it. It's tremendous. It's 2025. You have to be nice.
You know,
and just like, just like a black hole, you can't say that's called a hole of color, too.
Hole of color, yes.
Mr. President, what about Black Monday, the day after the NFL regular season ends when the Jets fire their coach?
Well, we look at it. We love Woody Johnson. He fires everybody. He hired, Aaron Glenn. We'll see what happens. Probably 2 years. I give him 2 years, right? You look at it. I give him 2 years. Aaron Glenn, he played cornerback for the Jets. He was pretty good. He could probably be better than what they have now. But you look at Monday of color, too. Everything has color, right? You look at it. You have chicken, right? You can say black and chicken. You can't say that. Chicken of color, too, right? You have to say that. Or else you get in trouble, right? CNN says you're a racist.
Well, while we have you, Mr. President, your thoughts on CNN doctoring your color to a brighter shade of orange on television?
Frankly, I think they look great. They did a lot better than my makeup. I think they made me look fantastic, right? You look at it. Orange is the, and they say orange is the new black, right? So here we go again. So now I'm a black person, right? I am LaDonald Trump. That's my name, right? That's my new name. They call me a G, right? They call me a G.
I don't think they've said that since the 90s.
And we do very well.
I don't think they've said that since the
90s. Not Warren G. Regulators.
They call me a G.
Great album.
Oh, God. Can we just all laugh and just be happy and simple?
I think we do. We don't stab people.
This is how it's supposed to be.
This is how it's supposed to be. Everybody's so angry and... Like Jern Blanston on the YouTube chat says, I blame video games and pro wrestling for the devaluing of human life.
Oh, stop.
And Greg Stalker.
Give me a break.
Oh, maybe Greg Stalker.
That's true. That is true. It is all my fault. I have so much more. I want to get into, have you guys been following this, this girl who goes to Ole Miss and how she is now suing? She's suing, right?
Yep.
Yes. Yep.
Because she's been... She's been slandered on the internet.
Of a baseless rumor, I guess.
About a rumor about her.
Mm-hmm.
And Pat McAfee is involved. X users are involved.
Oh.
She spoke out to NBC News yesterday, and we have all of that. Plus, Kamala Harris is back, ladies and gentlemen.
Who's that?
Yes, she is.
She's back. She's making speeches
too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we have her and Michelle Obama saying, let me see if I get this.
That's not her name. Come on.
Oh, sorry.
Well, there are people who call her Michael. I don't know why they do that, but they do that, right? And she looks like Mickey Mouse. I call her Mikey Mouse, right? You look at her with the ears, with the hair. She's really incredible.
She said something very intriguing.
No, she didn't.
About women like in men.
She wouldn't know about that.
Oh, boy. We'll get to all of that on the other side.
Yes, and then we'll ask Anna Hummel, would she marry Tim Walz or Doug Emhoff? Does Anna Hummel view those men to be masculine?
Oh, boy.
Men?
I can't wait to hear this answer.
Is this like Mary F. Kill game? Or...
Back after this.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.